Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us another Sabbath day. We come before you simply as a group of like-minded people to sing songs of praise, to worship you in the form of a Bible study. We ask that the words we would speak this morning would glorify you. As we open the Bible, we ask that we might see truth, that you would lead us and guide us, that we might see that this book could not have been written by man. It's the same theme wherever you read in this Bible about how we're sinners, we're headed for eternal death, that you have provided salvation for your people, and you've provided that salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, in that he took their place in hell, that he endured your wrath, the equivalent of suffering eternal damnation. So again, could we see that whenever we open the Bible? Could we always glorify you? May there no glory go to man. We thank you. Excuse me. We thank you for your blessings on us in this life, the way you've provided for us and cared for us. And again, we ask that everything we say here would glorify you. We ask for your leading and your guiding. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I'd like to speak this morning about singing and about songs. John read a very appropriate verse before we sang this morning. Psalm 13, verse 6, he said, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." And all through the Bible, believers are commanded to sing to God. And we sing about his salvation and about his grace. But I'd like to open this study by just reading a verse out of Psalm 32. Psalm 32, many of you are familiar with it. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks about how a man is blessed if his sin is covered by the blood of Christ. He talks about acknowledging our sin unto God, confessing our transgressions. But then in verse 7, he says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." I'd like to speak about those songs of deliverance. What are the songs of deliverance? Are they the hymns we sing when we come together to praise God and to worship God? Well, yes, but actually, we'll see that the songs of deliverance spoken of here are actually the whole Bible. We'll see that the whole Bible is songs of deliverance, of salvation. This word deliverance is translated escape in Psalm 71, verse 2. You can turn there. And sorry, it's speaking of salvation. It's speaking of escaping from the wrath of God. Psalm 71, it's translated escape in different places. It's translated deliver here in this passage I'm going to read. Psalm 71 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me." That's the word. Songs of deliverance. "Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape." I'm sorry here. Deliver is speaking of salvation, and that is the word escape there. That's the word that's translated deliverance. That word escape is translated deliverance in Psalm 32:7. "Deliver me in thy righteousness," speaking of salvation, "and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." And that deliver there is the same word as songs of deliverance in Psalm 32, verse 7. But I'm just trying to make the point that the Word of God, the whole Word of God, is songs of deliverance. This word songs in Psalm 32, 7, there are several words in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, that are translated into the word song. This one here suggests shouting for joy or rejoicing. If you look at Psalm 126, let me read the whole psalm. It speaks of turning the captivity of Zion, again relating to salvation. Psalm 126 verse 1 says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing." That's the same word. "Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." That's the same word that they translate song or singing. Joy. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And then again in verse 6 we see this word. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed," the seed of the gospel as it's sown in weeping and mourning, "shall doubtless come again with rejoicing." Again, the same word, songs, joy, songs of joy. "They shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Turn to Job chapter 35. That's the book right before Psalms. In this chapter, this man Elihu, who waited until Job's other three friends were finished speaking to him, they came to console him after the Lord had brought that great affliction on him. We read in Job 35, verse 1, "Elihu spake moreover and said, Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidst, My righteousness and more is more than God's?" He was offended now that Job had been saying that he was righteous, and he was he wondered why God had brought this affliction upon him. Verse 3 says, "For thou saidst, What advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? I will answer thee and thy companions with thee. Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him?" In other words, if you sin, how is it going to harm God? "Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand?" In other words, if you sin or if you're righteous, how does that affect God? Verse 8 says, "Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry." Now, this is speaking of the oppression that God brings upon the unsaved. He says they cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty, but he's going to say here that they don't seek God in this. He says in verse 10, "But none saith, Where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer, because of the pride of evil men." He's saying, no one, unsaved man, does not seek God, and yet he gives songs in the night. He gives his word. Turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 7 says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Again, this is someone in affliction, but yet this person is crying out to God. Verse 8 says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my rock, my life." And in the night. In the night, his song shall be with me. Again, speaking of the word of God, and Elihu has just spoken here about how God gives us songs in the night. And actually, this world is benighted, as it were. This world has been cursed by God. He left us when we fell. We were not in his presence anymore. And this world was cursed. Mankind in himself does not want the gospel. He speaks in Isaiah 14 of Satan that he has made this world as a wilderness. But again, in this benighted world, this world of darkness, God gives us songs in this night. Again, speaking of the word of God. But look at Psalm 119, verse 54. This verse really tells us that the word of God is our song. We know that Psalm 119, the entire psalm, is about the word of God. Almost every verse, except for two or three, talk about the word of God. Let me read this whole section here in Psalm 119. Look at verse 40, starting in verse 49. Psalm 119:49. He says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." God gives us his word, and this is where our hope is. He says in verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me," or brought me to life. It is the word of God that gives us life. We must hear the word to be saved. He says in verse 51, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law." That word horror there it could have been maybe better translated simply into the word wrath or anger. It speaks of anger welling up in a person. Anger or wrath hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. But in verse 54 he says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Thy statutes, and the statutes of the Lord, the judgments, the precepts, the commandments, his law, is all referring to the same thing, the word of God. And here he says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage," or my dwelling. He goes on to say, "I remember thy name, O Lord, in the night." Again, speaking of the night, in the tribulation of this world, in the darkness of this world, "I have remembered thy name." God gives us songs in this night. And he goes on in verse 56. He says, "This I had because I kept thy precepts." That could have been translated, "This was done unto me." In other words, he was given this hope and this comfort in the word of God. This I had because I kept thy precepts. And we can't keep the precepts of the Lord perfectly unless his spirit dwells in us, that his spirit keeps the commandments perfectly, and yet we're in this sinful body. But that's really the verse that opens this up for us. "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." And Colossians 3:16, you're all familiar with. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." As we sing these faithful hymns we speak of the word of God, we're really teaching and admonishing one another with these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And admonishing has to do with warning. We warn each other of judgment. A faithful hymn often speaks of judgment. But God has given us a couple of books in the Bible, whole books that are songs. They have 150 psalms, and they're actually all songs of praise and speaking of the word of God. And in the psalms, I think every doctrine in the Bible can be found in the psalms. I think it's safe to say that. And he's also given us the Song of Solomon. That book is a song, and again, it speaks of the love between Christ and the church. But again, it's all the gospel, the word of God, and it's spoken of as a song. Let's look at some of the songs God has given us. Turn to Exodus 15. When the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt, He led them through the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army were pursuing them. God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites, and then as the Egyptians pursued them through that sea, God closed the sea back up, and they were drowned. And again, this is a picture of salvation. Being brought out of Egypt is a picture of salvation. That sea was a picture of hell as it engulfed and drowned the Egyptians in judgment. But the Israelites sang a song after that. In Exodus 15:1, we read, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song." And you'll read that in a psalm, in a couple of psalms too. "The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea." And he goes on in this song, which is speaking of what God did to the Egyptians, and it's all the gospel. It's all part of the word of God. Look at verse 20. In verse 20 we read, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing, sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." Or turn to Numbers 21. A short, very short passage here speaking of how God, one place where God gave them water in the wilderness, and the Israelites sing to God for that. In Numbers 21, in verse 16, we read, let me get into Numbers. Numbers 21, Numbers 21, verse 16 says, "And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, Gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." Sing unto the well, they're saying. "Then Israel sang this song, Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver, with their staves." And from the wilderness they went to Matana. But the well, Christ is spoken of as a well in Isaiah, I believe, is actually out of Him come the waters of salvation. But here the Israelites are singing to this well. Or turn to Deuteronomy 14. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter here. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32, this song of Moses. Deuteronomy 32. Let me start in verse, that's where the number 14 comes. In Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 14, the Lord is getting ready to take Moses, and Joshua is going to take over the leadership of Israel. They're about to go into the promised land, but in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, We read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented them in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord, that is Jehovah, said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them." God is telling them what's going to happen with the Israelites. Verse 17, "Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." Here he's commanding Moses to write this song. And I have to read this whole passage so that you'll see that he's commanding Moses to write this song. And he goes on here, and you'll see that he's telling us that this song is the word of God. In verse 20, he says, "For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant." Remember, this is a song now. "And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear." Moses, therefore, wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book. He doesn't say song there, he says law. "And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." Now the song begins, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Look at verse 15, he says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick." This is speaking now to pride in the Israel and the sin that's going to develop in the Israelites. "Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger." This is all the word of God, but it's in a song. And finally, this goes on till verse 44. In verse 44 of Deuteronomy 32, we read, "And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun." That's Joshua. In Judges, turn to Judges chapter 5. We read this story of, in Judges 4, we read the story of Deborah and Barak and how they defeated Sisera. And in verse 5, I'm sorry, chapter 5, in verse 1 we read, after they've won this battle, Judges 5:1, then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord. Here they're singing. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings. Give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And here again, this song is speaking of this battle at Megiddo, and again, it's the judgment. It's speaking of the judgment of God. In verse 12, we read, "Awake, awake, Deborah! Awake, utter a song! Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam." Or look at 1 Samuel 18. This is after David, as a young boy, has killed Goliath. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, well, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6, we read, "And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And then if you turn to chapter 21, verse 11, these are Philistines now. In chapter 21, verse 11, we read, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s?" They're singing of that account of David killing Goliath. And again, we see the gospel in that. That's a beautiful picture of Christ defeating Satan as David kills Goliath. But again, it's a song. These are songs. The whole Bible is songs of deliverance, songs of salvation. One more look at 2 Samuel 22. This is David now. His song of praise to the Lord after he had given him victory over all his enemies. In 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, we read, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." All about salvation and praising God in a song, songs of deliverance. Lately we've all become familiar with this story in 2 Chronicles 20 of Jehoshaphat. He was going out to battle against the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites, and the Lord came to him and told him he wouldn't even have to fight in this battle. In verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 20, we read, the Lord tells Jehoshaphat, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." And in this battle that has been won for us by God for our salvation, we didn't do any fighting at all ourselves. He says, "Set yourself, stand ye still." That means do nothing. "And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." So the Israelites went up on this cliff, and then we read in verse 20, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. But we read all the Israelites did was sing praises to God. And these three tribes simply consumed each other in this battle. They were singing praises to the Lord. And all through the Psalms, we're commanded to sing praises to God. In Psalm 7, the introduction, which is inspired, says, Shigayon of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. Or Psalm 17. In Psalm 17, I don't know where the word sing is. I have to look through. I don't have the reference here. Look at Psalm 9, verse 2. Psalm, I don't know why I do this. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. See that in verse 1? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. And this is what we do as we gather together and we speak about the Bible. We show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his dear light. Where is that? In 1 Peter 2:9 or 1 Peter 3:9? Yeah, 1 Peter 2:9 says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And one of the ways we do that is to sing these beautiful psalms and hymns, speaking of the wondrous works of God in his salvation. Turn to Ecclesiastes 7. This speaks about the Song of Fools. Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5 says, It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. A rebuke is correction. Sometimes it's unpleasant, but it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. God speaks of fools, unsaved, as having their song that they sing. There's a verse in Zephaniah that talks about how the Lord sings. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Haggai. Zephaniah 3, verse 17 says, The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save thee. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That one speaks about the Lord singing. In Revelation 15, he speaks of that song of Moses. And this is in the context of judgment. In Revelation 15, verse 1, we read, And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten a victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And again in verse 5, that begins to speak of judgment. But here we just looked at that song of Moses, and it's speaking about how the Israelites will fall away and be judged of God. Let's close by looking at Psalm 42. There's a lot more verses where they command us to sing to the Lord, but Psalm 42, verse 8 says, Yet the Lord, I think I read this, didn't I? Psalm 42:7 says, Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Yes, I read this. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. We'll look at Psalm 118. Very simply, again, this is a psalm of thanksgiving to God, glorifying him in his salvation. The psalmist here is speaking of his enemies. In verse 11, Psalm 18, verse 11 says, They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. And you can read that in other places in the Bible. But could it be that each one of us could say here that the Lord is our song? And again, that we come together and we sing these beautiful, faithful hymns, but they're right out of the Word of God if they're faithful. And this whole Word of God, this whole Bible, again, are songs in the night. Or songs of deliverance. Why shall we pray? Father, again, we come before you, and again we ask, could it be that this message has edified some of your people, or taught, or spoken of things that maybe some of us haven't heard before, but again, we pray that could it all have been to your glory and praise, and that it was faithful, Lord. And again, we thank you for the blessings you've heaped upon us and giving us this word, this Bible that you've given us, this book of the songs of deliverance, in which we can learn all there is to know about this salvation. And if we are your children, we ask that you could give us a heart to serve you with a stronger desire every day to serve you and take these songs of deliverance to the world, a world that it still is in darkness. And we pray for our loved ones around us who still don't know you, that many still may hear this word and in your mercy be saved. And again, may all that we do and say this day be to your glory only. And we give thanks for all you've given us. Amen.